Well, and desire your prayers. I was thinking how much the Lord has done for us. Sure has been good to me. But I think He wants to do a lot more. I wonder how much of what the Lord wants to do is actually done. Well, I don't think that most of what He wants to do in the world gets done. But I wonder it even more than that. I wonder how much that He wants to do right among His people goes undone. And I'll even get a little closer. I wonder how much the Lord wants to do in my life that He never gets to do. I don't know if you've ever thought of that, but I've noticed in my life that there's a lot of times I've kind of scratched my head at situations, thinking the Lord surely wanted to do something with that, that He's not getting to do. But I think the Lord wants to help us. I'm sure He does. And I believe tonight that God is a big God. I think we're, a lot of times we look at the possibilities of something getting done as the way humans would think, and not thinking what God can do. We look at what we think can be done or what might be humanly possible without, I'll give you a for instance, we teach freedom from sin. And it's right that you do that. It's biblical. It's right. But most people look at it and say, humans are too defiled. They are. But God's bigger than that. If you look at what human being defiled, you'll come up with that conclusion. If you look at human capability, you'll come up with that conclusion. But if you look at God capability, you'll know that we can live free from sin. God wants to do something. I remember years ago knowing an elderly lady that she was a Christian lady, and she went to church regularly, and I believe she meant that. But this woman was very fearful. She was abnormally fearful. And I know that people can be fearful, and a lot of things, one scripture talks about things being like a grasshopper being a big thing when you talk about there in Ecclesiastes. A little thing can be a big thing when you start getting old. But I couldn't help from thinking, knowing this woman, I couldn't help from believing with this kind of fear. She had a fear on her about everything. She feared to stay in her own house at night by herself. She paid. Every day she paid somebody to stay in the house with her. She was so fearful of everything. I couldn't help from thinking many years ago, surely God don't intend for one of His people to go through a torment like that. I don't know that she ever realized. I'll be honest with you, I don't think people ever told her. I don't remember a preacher ever preaching it. I don't remember anybody ever suggesting the idea that God can help you with that. Or maybe she didn't realize that it could even be done. This is the way she has always been. And so, what do you do with that? Do you know God can help with that? I really believe tonight that in those kind of places that becomes part of our lives, if we're not careful, we'll accept that. We'll say that's the normal. That's just the way it is. It's the way I am. Well, maybe you're not fearful. Maybe you're not afraid of anything. But there was a lot of things. I knew somebody that was extremely, extremely nervous about anything that happened was just go to pieces almost. Couldn't handle situations. I couldn't help them thinking, as one of God's people, surely God want to do something about that. I know that He can do something about that tonight. Lord, help us to not go short on anything that we need. Because I believe tonight that what God wants to do is help us with those kind of things in our life. We don't have to have that. There's victory. There's more victory in you being afraid of everything. That's, fear has torment. You don't have to do that. God's got victory over that. It takes a trust, a confidence. I think it takes a working. I don't think there's no experience of it booming. I think God works with it. God builds our confidence in Him that we can know that it's better than that. But God, I think things come up short of what He wants to accomplish. Not because of God lack, as we already heard, but somewhere between the great power and wisdom of God and the victory in our lives, somewhere something short circuits. I think sometimes it's in our lazy attitudes that would get us victory. Because the truth of it is most of the time we'll say, you know, that ain't that bad. That ain't that bad. I have a tendency to see everybody's problems but mine. It takes a recognition, a willingness to be honest enough to say, I've got a problem that needs to be fixed. I've got a problem that's causing me not to fulfill God's will in my life. When I can't go somewhere the Lord wants me to go because I'm afraid, that's interfering with God's plan. When I can't do something because I've got something in here that keeps me, when I can't associate with people because they've made me mad and I can't overcome that, it's just the way we deal with things, I'm interfering with God's plan in my life. Amen. Lord can help us in those kind of things. We can preach messages that go great wide and covers everybody, but be honest with you, most of the time when God starts working, He starts working with the individual down in their heart to take care of the things that hinder them in their life. Yeah. Because these things are hindrances in our life. The devil can make a lot of hay, so to speak, with these kind of things in our life that we might, for some reason or another, not be willing to say, this is me. This is me right here. That's the way. Lord, help me to be able to. You know what happens a lot of times? It takes work. It takes a willingness to be honest and a willingness to be able to go through the process that God's going to allow in my life to cause victory to come. And if I'm not careful, I'll just say, you all may not say it for me, but I'll say, I'm not that bad. I can live with this. This doesn't interfere with me much. Well, Lord, help us tonight to be honest, because I think God has a lot higher ways for you and I. I think God has a lot clearer visions for us. I think God's got more victory for us than we will be willing to realize sometimes about our own lives. I want to look at a scripture starting off, familiar scripture. It's in the 35th chapter of Isaiah. It says, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. A desert? A dry place? Nothing coming out of that. This whole idea about this is that when we look at the impossibles, God sees the possible. I've read about a desert before. You know, a desert is just full of beauty and life when it has water. Really, it's a very, flowers, and when it gets rain, it can come out in the most beautiful colors, and it's just something when it's dry and don't look like much if it doesn't rain, but the potential is there. Yeah. God can do that kind of thing. This is not, is this just talking about, the American Southwest? Is that what this is talking about? That kind of a place? I think it's talking about people, isn't it? Yes. I think it's talking about hearts. I think it's talking about dispositions that you and I have that causes it to be a desert. It's all dried up. You don't get anything out of it. It don't look good. It don't act good. You can't live in it. You can't habitate it. No one can get along with it. But the scripture here says that this solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. Shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, and the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, Be strong. Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with recompense, he will come and save you. What's he coming to? It sounds to me like there's a fight or something going on there. He's going to come and bring vengeance and recompense. Something's going on here in this life. Fear not. Be strong. This thing can be accomplished in your life. Amen. It can be. No one was ever said above anybody else. God never said, I'm going to take old Saul and change his name to Paul and make him something special and do all these things for him, and the rest of them I'm not going to do anything for. People that get to those kind of places are people that give up to the Lord. They're people that see themselves. They're people that's willing to lean on God and His ability to overcome those things that's in their lives. God can overcome those things in our life. He can help us to have word seasoned with salt. He can help us to have the right attitude in any kind of circumstance. God can help us to overcome our teachings, our upbringings, our society around us, our environment, our genetics. God can help us over our personality. All those things. God can help us with those kind of things. Fear not. And be strong. And depend upon God. Because He can help you with this if you're willing to do it. And this is, it's going to cost you something. At first you're going to have to say, yes, Lord, show me, because to be honest with you, I don't see me very good. I just don't. I have these things that block myself to myself. I don't want to see myself. I put up the shields and the barriers and the walls to keep me from seeing and realizing who I am. But there's things in my life that's keeping me from really being what I ought to be. You say, well, I'm too intimidated. And I'm not saying it's for everybody, folks, but I think God's got more than you think He does. I can never pray out in service. Why not? Well, maybe you can't, but why can't you? If God don't want you to, I don't want you to. Nobody else does. But don't cut the thing short. Amen. And say, I'm just too timid. I'd make a fool of myself. Well, you wouldn't be the first one. It happens to us all the time. But that's not what we're trying to do. But don't cut it too short and say, it's not mine. That's not for me. I know there's people that get real victory. And I see people that when somebody does something to them, they just come back in love. But I can't do it. I had somebody tell me that one time. There was something happened. I went to him and said, I don't understand. I said, we preach this and we teach this and we have Bible studies about it and we work with it and we work with it and then something happens and this is the attitude. And he said, I believe what you're saying. And if you're there, that's good. But I'm not there. I don't see that this way. Well, why not? You can. You can have it too. Jesus did it, and He handed it down, and it wasn't long. The people got a hold of it, and they started, by the grace of God, performing the same thing, and it goes all the way. It comes right down to you and I, by the grace of God. We can be that way too. Amen. We can be that way. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Going to understand some things. I really believe tonight that our vision a lot of times has to do with our position. Where you're at determines on what you see. You get low enough down and you won't see anything. You'll have a very small circle of vision. You won't be able to see anything. When you start getting up higher, you start understanding some things. You'll see it. Your vision will be clearer. God wants to raise you and I up and be higher than we've ever thought about before, have grace in our lives, have the Spirit of Christ reigning in us, have those elements of Him that was forgiving. You know, I'm amazed how hard forgiveness can get sometimes when it seems like it ought to be just automatic. Right? It's taught. It's there. But yet sometimes it can go for weeks, months, and years. Sometimes it's never addressed. Why? There's grace for it. Oh, the Lord wants to bring us up out of those kind of places. Lord, the Lord has something special for His people. I believe that. Amen. I believe that our relationships is hindered and the love that should flow through us is hindered because we're not willing to get up there where it's at. Because it cost me something to get up there. It's going to cost me some of who Marty is to do that.
Yes, amen.
Lord, help us. The eyes of the blind shall be opened. Oh, now I see it. I see that scripture. I lived it. I lived that. I seen it. I see the reason now. I see what it can do, what God can do through it. When I become that, I can see that now. You'll be surprised what kind of vision you get when you start giving in to God. You start turning over your life and what you can see. He said, the blind eyes shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And again, I don't think God was interested. He can make it all a rainforest if He wanted to. He made deserts a part of His creation. He wasn't talking about that. He's using this as an analogy of what water does to the desert. He's talking about us.
Amen.
We'll say, well, that's the world in general, just the desert. I'll agree, it's getting dry. It's dry out there. It's sure enough dry out there. But I'm going to tell you, we can suffer some dryness of ourselves.
Amen.
Before long, we're hardly representative. What did God, the language the Lord said? What were some of the things that He said people would be able to look and see and be and know we was His disciples? That we'd have love one to another. I'm not putting any of the rest of it down. It's all important, the way we represent ourselves, the way we present ourselves. But He didn't say, if you dress a certain way, people will know. And He didn't say that. He didn't say if you go to church every day that you'd be known that. That's what He said. But He did say if you love one another, it's going to speak something that all the rest of it can't speak. So what is that? How do we get to those kind of places? I'm going to tell you, if you don't take care of those kind of places in your life, I'll tell you one of the things that I struggled with in my life. I was, let's say this, before I was saved, I wasn't very trustworthy. Do you know if you're not a trustworthy person, what I'm saying is I'd lie to you. That's what I'm trying to say. I'd lie to you if I needed to. And because I'd lie to you, I assumed you'd lie to me. And because I was a liar, everybody was a liar. Probably everybody I knew was a liar. I didn't trust anybody. Everybody's going to lie to me. It really wasn't so much about them as the place in my own life. It was really hard to trust somebody when I wasn't trustworthy. I just couldn't believe anybody. Do you know, if you look at everybody like that, and I know people that just don't trust anybody. I wonder. That needs to be dealt with. Lord, I have a problem trusting with people. Where's the root of that thing at? You know, you might be surprised what the Lord did say to you. I know He wants to fix it. I know that the Lord wants our relationships with one another to be without question the best it can be. God wants our marriages to be without question the best on the earth. There shouldn't be, when it comes to us, there shouldn't be any question about that. Because people, it's a representation of Christ in the church. So what kind of a view are we giving it? And you say, well, I can always say my wife. That's why it ain't like it should be. My wife. That's the reason why. Maybe there's some of me there too. But the Lord has this place lifted up, folks. Listen, it's higher than we've ever usually give it credit for. You can have, if you'll sacrifice yourself for it. And listen, I know, I'm not putting undue guilt. I realize there's people with unsaved companions, those kind of things. I realize that. But as two people loving the Lord and striving for the Lord, we ought to get there. Lord, help us. As congregations of people that's lived for the Lord and love the Lord and strive to do what the Lord wants, we ought to love one another. It ought to be noticeable that we love one another. And we do. But there's places yet to go. There's a stream. This says, and shall waters break out in streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, in the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there. And there is a highway there. A highway. We came down here, we tried most of the way to be on a highway. Well, we was always on some sort of highway, but we endeavor to be on the good ones. There's a reason for highways. You know why they do that? So you can go somewhere. That's why they do it. I would be willing to say, I never done it, but some of you probably made the journey from where I lived to here back in the 60s and those kind of, it was probably a lot different trying to get down here, I imagine, than what it is today. I don't know how long it'd take you, but I know it'd take you a lot longer. You start getting on those places that wasn't lifted up. He said, there shall be a highway there. Amen. Folks, there is a higher way. There is a way that is made of God to get us there. Don't count it short. It's a way to get us there. It's the grace of God. It's the power of God. It's lifted up. We can live lives above the reeds and the rushes. That's beautiful. But you can't go anywhere there. This is built up. They cast it up. Not far from here, Pontchartrain? You imagine wading across that thing, swimming across, boating across? What do? They built something above it. You don't have to get your feet wet going across there. You want to go? You can go. Because why? Because it was some effort, some work, some thing, but it was cast up, it's built up. And there is a way. Don't cut it short. There's a way today for our problems. There's a way to get along. There is a way to get along. But it's hard sometimes. And sometimes it's more than just praying it at one time, because a lot of times there's issues that never gets took care of. Yeah, I can try and pray, Lord, help me with this, help me with this. And the next time I do the same thing, then the next time the same thing, I try to take care of the instant, but I don't take care of the deep thing. I never really take care of what causes me to be like that. God wants more than the one-time solution. He wants to change our heart. And He can change our heart. I also was a jealous person. And the Lord changed me. Thank the Lord. I'm so glad. You know, I got saved and I had all these different qualities. And I thought, this is something. It was something. I felt different. I thought different. I got saved. You know, sometime after that, I started having some jealousy, some thoughts of jealousy and things coming on me. I thought, where's this coming from? Wasn't really ever really, really willing to admit I even had it. And all of a sudden here it is, and I had to acknowledge. I'm thinking some things, but I wanted to serve the Lord. I don't believe that you have to run around being jealous. I know you don't have to. Oh, brother so-and-so got this and that. We never say it, but boy, that just gets me. I hope something happens to him. I hope he loses his stuff. I hope that kind of thing. Yeah, I'm a preacher, that's right. And boy, Brother Larry gets up and preaches that good message. I wish I'd have preached that one. You don't think those things are real? They're real. Do they have to be like that? No. They don't have to be. What it is, we need a highway, a higher vision. Why would I be jealous of Brother Larry? He's doing what I want. Give him a good message. I see it. That's what I'm after. I'm not about personal ambition. Amen. If that's what you have, Lord can help you. Lord can help you. We need to see things better. You know why I see it? Honestly, dude, the Lord gave it to me. Lord bless you real good. I hope you have the finest house in the state of Louisiana. Because it's likely I might come and you'll put me up. It's very likely. I've stayed in all kinds of houses across the country. I remember when Brother Stanley Dixon built his house out there, and we went out there not long after that, and I went in and said, "This is nice. It was a nice home." And I said, "This is another one of my promises that the Lord made. He said you could have 100-fold in this life and life eternal. This is just one of my houses. Just another one I get to stay in." You know how many people here I can start naming that I've stayed in their home? I mean, there are several right here. I've stayed with Brother Purvis. I've stayed with Michael. I've stayed with people all over the place. Stayed with the Meeks. It's places. Why would we be jealous? You know you will if you can't see above that. What is it down in there? Lord, help us. We cut God short of what He really wants to do, and it leaves these things in our life that makes ourselves miserable and everybody around us. You don't have to get on the phone and gossip. You think, "Yes, I do. It's just Him. I just got to do it. It's just this drive." No, you don't. If you acknowledge, "I talk too much. Lord, I talk too much and I say things that I shouldn't say. I say things that ain't edifying, that ain't lifting up to people. And if you'll help me, Lord, I know there's victory." And I'll tell you what, it'll make a congregation closer. It'll make love richer. It'll make confidences better. We'll trust one another more. Then I'll say, "I'll tell you some, I got some things I need done, Lord. I'll tell you, because I know you ain't going to the phone." Lord, help us in these kind of places. It says, "And there's a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness." Amen. The way of holiness. Remember Peter? They was on a boat, and they looked and saw a spirit. And they all got afraid. And Jesus said, "Fear not, for it's I." And Peter said, "Lord, it be you, bid me to walk on the water." "Come, Peter." Wow. Peter stepped out of that boat on the top of that water and started walking on top of the water. Yeah, we can walk on some things too. I don't believe that the Lord is interested in us walking on literal water. If it come necessary and He want to do that, that the Lord could do it. But He's not out to prove nothing. But He did prove that there is the power to walk on the water. There is power to be above the hindrances of this life. There is power in God. Peter, when he said come, and he looked to Jesus, the lesson of that was when he had his eyes fixed on the Lord, steadfast, right on the Lord, he walked over those problems. Because Jesus is bigger than those problems. No matter how rough the sea was, it didn't matter. He wasn't looking at the sea. It didn't matter about the problems. It doesn't matter that Grandpa was like this and Mom was like this and I'm destined to be like this. That's just the old sea roaring. It doesn't matter that my whole environment's like this. It doesn't matter that everybody else is around me is like this. It doesn't matter what the sea's doing. Jesus can do it. As long as he looked at Jesus, he walked on that water. And all of it was under his feet. And folks, those things can be under our feet too tonight. We can have victory over those things in our life. We can overcome ourselves. As long as we're playing the blame game, it is somebody else's fault. I don't come regularly because the preacher's boring. As long as it's those kind of things, there's no help. And God doesn't get to fulfill what he really wanted to do. When Peter took his eyes off Jesus, he started sinking. And you and I will too. Those things will overcome us in our lives too. We'll revert back to the old man, right back to the old things that we were if we stop looking to Jesus for our help. I remember going to service one time, and Sunday morning service, and that was probably, to my mind at the time, I thought, this is the driest service that I've ever been in. This is absolutely nothing in this at all. This has been torture to have to sit here through this. And when it was over, Brother Jim White stood up and said, "I want to thank the Lord today for this message. And I said, what? Now surely, he's jesting. And he started saying what he got out of that service. And it was rich. And I never heard a thing. So I had to go back and rephrase the statement. I said, Lord, I'm awful dry today. You just as well be honest about it.
Amen.
It can go either way. Yeah. If you think it's dry, you pray it on through. You'd be surprised what somebody that's hungry can get. You know, the scripture over in Proverbs about, 26-27 talks about the honeycomb and how the full soul loveth the honeycomb. But a hungry man loveth every bitter thing. You'd be surprised what you can get when you're hungry. You'd be surprised what you can get when you're really wanting something and you're needing something and you're needing God to help you and there's a place God can work. If we'll just be honest about it and say, it's me, Lord. It's me. I need help with this. I know what your word says is that we ought to be forgiving, but I find it hard to forgive. Is anything wrong with that saying that? No, there's not. It's a good place to go. Lord, I need help because you said that there's a highway. It's a highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, Lord, and I want to pass over. I want to be on that way. Keep me clean. Make me suitable to be on the highway. It says that it shall be for those the wayfaring. Man, wayfaring, somebody's gone somewhere. Not dallying around. I'm telling you, this is serious, see? We're not just looking at something. This is a playing a game. This is not just a game. This is serious. I'm thinking about something here. Got a desire to see more of God. I want to see God in my generation do what God's promised to do. Brother Salmon's had a lot of great stories. Told a lot of things. I appreciated him. I want to know. I knew Brother Salmon's. I want to know Brother Salmon's God. I want to see the same God that worked for him work for me. I want to see the same kind of thing that helped him overcome problems, overcome my problems. God can do it. It says it's for wayfaring men, people that see the vision. I'm going to tell you, you want to see something? You'll see it different you get up on the highway. You get up above the problems, make you see them different. One of the first indications of spiritual trouble is fault finding. Anybody else know that but me? Been guilty of it myself. It's one of the first indications. If I ain't living it, nobody will be. Huh? Nobody else. It ain't happening. There, this, there, that. You know what the root of that usually is? Problems. Spiritual problems. Lord, help us to admit that. We're not going anywhere. We're not wayfaring men. We're not going anywhere. If the only thing that I can ever accomplish in this life is trying to find a fault with you. I got to see above that. You know what? You get up on the highway and you've overcome some things in your life. You know what kind of a disposition that gives you? Lord, have mercy on my brother. That's where, Lord, have mercy. I see it. I was there. I know the same kind of problems. Have mercy on them. Help them to be able to see too. Come on, I see a bigger picture than that. You know, we get so wrapped up in the details sometimes we miss the whole point. We miss the idea that we're all on this journey together and we need to make it, all need to make it. And sometimes we're trying to hinder one another. Lord help us. Yeah. Trying to hinder one another. You know, negative statements about your brother don't help them. Well, I know. I mean, personally speaking for me, I'd rather you don't do it. I mean, if you want my opinion about you talking about me, I'd rather you don't talk about me negatively. That's just the way I feel about it. You feel that way too. We all do. And it don't help to do it. It'd help a lot to be encouraged and say, be strong. Be strong and have a good courage. Brother, you can make it through it. Come on, there's problems. We isolate and we get agendas. You know what I mean. I've told this several places ago. I'm going to tell it here too, though. I've heard this many times. Young person, nah, it don't have to be a young person. Person gets saved. Hadn't been saved but a few weeks. They go to Monarch. Go to Monarch and they ain't dressed just like a saint's who's dressed. And maybe got some few things wrong. And these stories float around all the time. Something didn't happen to me, but it floated around. Somebody comes up to them and says,
You shouldn't dress that way. You shouldn't do this. There's a story that's out there. And now everybody wants to say that's a bad thing and they shouldn't do that and condemn them and all those kind of things. But think about this way. Scripture says that it would be better to have a millstone hung around your neck and cast into the sea than to offend one of God's little ones. Now, which person would you rather be? I'm saying, when you don't have an agenda, folks, you see clearly.
Amen.
Both of those have potential to be hurt and lost, and you feel it. And you'd have just as much mercy on the one saying those kind of things because they're in jeopardy. And you wouldn't want to see it. So you're not agenda-based. See what I'm saying?
Yes.
We're not agenda-based. We're heaven-based. We're God-based. We're God-oriented. Too often we want to side with this. Oh, they shouldn't have said that. You realizing the one that shouldn't have said that might be in trouble, in jeopardy of their soul? You better be merciful. You better deal with it with love. And goodwill, and in the Spirit of Christ. You know how often we are not up there high enough to see what God's wanting to do? Because we never dealt with the issues that's in our own life. Oh, Lord, help us to be up there. Help us to love one another deeply and care about one another and help us to sacrifice and give of ourselves and be like Jesus was here. You know, there's a dying world. I've got to ask this question. Is it possible to have God in you and not love souls? I see some people saying, no, it's not possible. You know, it's easy for me to see just about a lot of these qualities anyway that's not like Christ. If I say something out of turn, I'll say, oh, that wasn't like Jesus. Or if I get an attitude, it's pretty easy for me to say, well, Jesus wouldn't act that way. But you know one thing that we can easily let go, real easy let go, is the idea that Jesus' number one characteristic and quality was His love for souls. Now, how can we say that we are Christ and not love everybody around us and want and desire for them to be saved? It ought to be more than indifferent attitude. It ought to be active, shouldn't it? It ought to be active. I ought to be looking for that place. It ought to be active. Jesus' number one characteristic that I see in Him was that He loved us unconditionally. He gave Himself for us. And we're taking on the same quality and claiming it. But we ain't acting on it sometimes. And the Lord can do more for you than you think He can. You say, well, I can never be a real somebody that says something to somebody or does something for somebody. Don't cut God short.
Amen.
By every one of us that ever stands up here said the same thing. I used to say, there's no way I could do that. And I thought I was telling the truth. I didn't think it. I just didn't think it could be possible. And it's not about perfect grammar, because I don't have it. And it's not about perfect thoughts, because I don't have that either. But it is about doing what the Lord wants you to do. And being able to let the Lord do it.
Amen.
And just giving yourself to let the Lord do it. Lord, accomplish something in my life. Do it. What this is. Help me to see. Help me to see. I'm going to be the first to tell you I haven't been perfect in my life. But God's helped me. God's helped me to see the places. And I want to see them more. Lord, if there's any place, try me. Look into me. Shine the light in me. See if there's anything in there that's unlike You. Anything that's hindering me with my relationship with my brother. Is there anything there that does that? Well, Lord, help me to get that out of there. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. In other words, what this is saying is, you're not going to stumble on it. Brother Clifford Wilson used to say, you're not going to stumble into heaven, but you can go if you want to go worse than anything in this world.
Yeah.
You can go, but you're not going to fall in. You're not going to stumble in. This highway that you get on, where you're really going somewhere, and you're up there to see and to understand,
Fools, you ain't going to fall on it. You're not just going to happen to be there. No, it's going to take something. God will do His part. But you know, so much is left undone. Lord, help us. So many times I've looked at situations and said, surely, God intends to do something with that. God don't want to leave those people there in that kind of a place. He wants to lift them up. Fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Folks, this idea is given for the redeemed. You and I have the privilege of being able to have a God that works for us. Oh, the world ain't going to get it. Of course not. But the redeemed of the Lord shall walk there. This is for us. This is our bread. This is our redemption. You know, we have the right and the privilege of being God's people to be able to go with Him with this miserable package and give it to Him. And He said in Isaiah 61 that He would trade beauty for ashes. All He's requiring is you to bring Him, oh, burnt out life. Oh, worthless ideas that you have. Oh, worthless ambition. Bring those things to the Lord and see what He'll do with them. If you're not saved tonight, the privilege of being redeemed is there. You can be redeemed tonight. You can be saved. You can have the privilege of being able to be a candidate for the highway. I'm going to tell you, up there is where it's at, because this world, looking at all of its problems and this and that, do you know, they claim you, if you need a psychologist or a psychiatrist or whatever, listen. If you're not going to let the Lord do it, you ought to get something, I suppose. I don't know how many answers they got, but most people are not willing to let the Lord do it. Well, then maybe you ought to get some counseling somewhere. But that's not the real answer. Because they can only counsel you. God can change your heart. God can make it different from the inside out, and you don't have to feel that way anymore. Well, if it just booms out of the sky, if I can push a red button and cause it to happen, I'll take it. But any work or labor. I tell you, sometimes it takes some prayer and tears and crying, and it's a recognition of who I am and where I want to go. And Lord, help us. The redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs. And what's this sound like? And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. What's that sound like? It's victory. It's victory. I've had those things in my life, and they've been taken care of. And now I can come clear. You know, thank the Lord tonight, but there's nobody in this building that I can't look you right in the eye tonight. I've not done you no wrong. I have no hard feelings towards you. I love every one of you, and it causes me to be able to be bold about it. I love you. I don't have to hide that. And I do whatever I need to do. That's why Paul said he said, I'm free from the blood of all men. I have a good conscience toward God and man. What was he saying? I've lived it. I've had the changes made. When it needed to be changed, I had it changed, and now I come with rejoicing and everlasting songs and singing and rejoicing, because I got it took care of. I got it done in my life. Lord, help us tonight. God wants a victorious church. And to have a victorious church, it needs victorious members. It all starts right here. It all starts right here. Lord, help me to catch on fire. Lord, help me to take care of the things. You'd be surprised what one person can do as a steadying force. Not long ago, I had this little deal come up, and again, I was scratching my head saying, I just don't understand this. And one was saying, well, we will do this, we'll do this, and this. And you know, I say, well, no, let's not look at it that way. Let's look at it this way. Let's do all we can for them. And I was so glad that this brother said, yes, that's right. Let's do it. Because it was, well, we ain't going to do this. Let's do this. Let's do it. No, let's not do that. Let's help them all we can. Yeah, that's right. Let's do it. Tonight, Let's let God do all that He can. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.